Testing, 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 testing. This is a second oral history with Dr. Elkin Blout on the 13th of September 2002. The interviewer is Arnold Thackray. Elkin, perhaps we can begin where the last history left off and finish the Polaroid story.
All right. There are only a few points I'd like to make. You already have that article that I wrote for the Chemical Heritage magazine. But in addition to the points I made in that article, I'd like to tell you what I consider important in the Polaroid story that relates to my oral history. First, as part of the relations between Polaroid and Eastman Kodak, there were a series of meetings every month between our two organizations when we were developing the color film. These meetings were held alternatively in Cambridge and in Rochester, and they were attended by the technical people on both sides, although not too many of them, because we've learned that you had to keep the meetings small to get things done. But I, Din Land, and Bill McCune went to Rochester as the core Polaroid people and met with the core Eastman Kodak people who were involved in the chemistry of photographic film. These were Rudy Damschroeder, Arnold Weisberger, and on occasion Henry Yitzhu, who were very candid. We would tell Kodak what we were doing to develop the chemicals for the instant photographic color process, and they would comment on what we were doing and indicate if they thought we were going down a blind alley. On the other hand, Kodak did not give us any seminal contributions to the process. These seminal contributions came from Polaroid people. But what Kodak was able to do was to think of the eventual process in terms of making instant photographic color film. So they were very useful meetings, and there was very candid interchange between the two corporate groups. But as I said, I never felt that Kodak made fundamental scientific contributions to the process.
I know there was later litigation. Yes. I'm also just surprised. Explain to me, in the competitive world of corporations, Polaroid is obviously trying to work in an area that is of some level of interest to Kodak. So how did you ever get into friendly conversation to begin with?
Well, I think it really started is because Din Land knew on a one-to-one basis some of the Kodak people, mainly through his work in Washington, sort of neutral ground. And that got us into this one-to-one business. I have no real idea why Eastman Kodak helped us, except that we contracted with Eastman to make the color film. So this was a new product for them. But I don't know whether they had eventual thoughts that they could take over Kowloon or take over the instant processes.
I guess initially it wasn't clear how important and successful this would be.
That's right. The only people who had faith in it, or the main people who had faith in it, was of course Din Lam, and then I had faith, and Bill McCune had faith when we were working at Kowloon.
So can you trace this? These conversations went on, and they went on all the time that the development was underway.
Right. Except that they ended really when it became clear that Kowloon had a product that was going to be a major competition for Kodak. And I think that is when Kodak began to think of whether they could make a product to compete with the Polaroid color product. And they did try to do that. And in the 70s, there was a large patent suit where Polaroid resulted in a huge settlement by Eastman Kodak, nearly $1 billion. So that ended with collaboration.
It caused them significant operating difficulty, I think.
Right.
But the critical collaboration was relatively short in time.
Right, it was really mostly in two areas. The chemistry of the photograph of color photography and the help that Eastman Kodak could give in making, producing the film.
Now,
because Polaroid had no experience in it.
My understanding is that while this was going on, you'd opened up a second front, a second career on nights and weekends,
right,
as it were. And how did you get into that?
Well, I, as I indicated in previous, I got to Polaroid through a chance recommendation of Bob Woodward. And Bob and I remained friends and scientific colleagues all the time I was at Polaroid. After I was at Polaroid of about 9 years, I was working on a color microscope, and it became of interest to some of the people at the medical school. And he got his interest through a colleague of mine, a chemist in the Department of Chemistry at Harvard. The chemist was named Maurice Peckett, and he actually became medically trained. He suggested that I should meet with Farber, just as Bob Woodward suggested I meet with Land, and Sidney Farber and I hit it off, and this was in 1949. I had been at Polaroid about 6 or 7 years, and I was looking around for something more to occupy me.
Though in fact there was plenty going on at Polaroid.
Right, there was a lot going on, but I still had this need to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the need to do something relating to chemistry.
Mm-hmm. What was the literal geography of all of this? Where were you living?
I was living in Cambridge and eventually in Belmont. And I started work at Children's Hospital in an old laboratory, Coolidge Laboratory.
Polaroid was in Cambridge.
Polaroid was in Cambridge.
So your Harvard ties, you met people on the street, as it were.
Yes, and actually I was asked to lecture at Harvard during this period.
In what department?
In biophysics and biochemistry. I was asked to lecture, and I had a research group at Children's Hospital in about 1950.
You become a research associate in pathology at Harvard Medical School in 1950.
That was my title. Okay.
Is this all connected to the dyes and color territory? I mean, does it grow out of that, or where does it come from?
Out of the spectroscopy, I would say, and the dyes and everything, and what I was doing. But then, as life went on, I met another physician, Jack Fine. Dr. Jack Fine was chairman of the Department of Surgery at Zimfrist in dealing with shock in surgical patients. So I thought about this, and I applied for a grant from the people who were interested in dealing with shock at the Surgeon General of the Army. And that got me started with work at the Institute.
On your biography here, you're a research associate in 50 to 52 in pathology and at the Children's Cancer Research Foundation, and then there's a gap from 1952 to 1956, where you again become research associate in pathology. Is that is that when the shock piece comes? Or
it started off really in 1950.
Mm-hmm. But it appears, at least in formal terms, as if there's a 4-year gap.
Because it wasn't truly a gap. I was working day and night, mostly nights, and with people at Polaroid. Finally accepted that, and in fact I was offered a leave of absence, a sabbatical leave from Polaroid, during which I got working on these peptides and polypeptides, and that is where I published a lot, actually, in the 1950s.
Yes. You did have a wife and family. Did you ever see them?
Not much. And I regret it now, but it really was working nights most of the time.
Enough with science.
I was ambitious. I was ambitious. Anyway, the people working for me at Children's at that time, many postdoctoral people, 8 years old, I had decided that I wanted to go back to the academic life, and I led professorships at my alma mater at Columbia. They wanted me to come back as a professor at MIT, and then finally at Harvard Medical School. And it was that professorship I
still the only place money per se ever is.
Right. Well, this was theoretically, but I figured out that by the time I was 40, I had $1 million. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to make the financial transition from Polaroid to Harvard.
Was that because of Polaroid itself?
It was because of Polaroid, but it was also because I, if you remember, suggested to Polaroid that they offer stock options to their senior people.
Yes, that's what I mean. It was Polaroid stock and its value.
Polaroid stock and its value.
Yeah.
and it had and it was sort of at its heyday because Polaroid was about to become public with the color photography product. So, but it's interesting how.
Okay.
I was very pleased to have been at Polaroid and having had the experience of being in the
institution. I think we need a. Okay.
As I was saying, I'm looking back at my on my life from the age of 40. I was really pleased to have had the commercial industrial experience at Polaroid because it influenced the rest of my life. Although it was my research, my academic work, that was the reason that I was offered these three professorships.
Polaroid, the Polaroid experience influenced the future course in what way?
Well, I'll come to this shortly, but it made me aware that there was a world, there was a real world, and because of that, I did certain things when I was at Harvard. And I'll go into them. I set up organizations. I attempted to build other companies because of the fact that I was at a very exciting industrial company named Polaroid in the 50s.
There you are around 40 and your financial world is under control, but why did you think you wanted to go back into the academic world?
I think it was because I found the academic world in my previous experience when I got my PhD and I was a postdoc intellectually exciting world. Mm-hmm. Although it was exciting to build new products at Polaroid, it wasn't the same as the satisfaction I got from discovering new phenomena. And that's the reason why I went back into it.
Very unusual. Can you think of anybody else with a similar trajectory?
Not at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Not at that time, but I was happy and I worked hard. Those are the two things.
a little talent may also help.
Maybe.
So will you go through your Harvard sequence, as it were?
Did I hand you that? Article.
Yes.
On Harvard.
Yes. Yeah.
When I came to Harvard, it was roughly 1961, and I was a full professor at the medical school. And as a professor, I was expected to teach. I taught not only in the biophysics program, but in the Department of Biological Chemistry, where I was housed. And my teaching was satisfying in some ways. I remember my initial lecture at Harvard Medical School. After I was made a professor, it was a lecture on the structure of myoglobin and hemoglobin. It was based on recent work by Kendrew and Kurutz, and the students loved the lecture. I knew the subject, and I was obviously enthusiastic. And they indicated by their applause at the end of the lecture that they appreciated it. In fact, it was probably one of the best lectures I gave in the formal courses. And it got me started. Re-emphasized my interest. Said I was at Harvard, I was expected to teach and also expected to do research. I had already been well started on the polypeptide and peptide research, and it was being well supported by the National Institutes of Health. In fact, in those days, if you applied for a grant, you were almost assured of getting it. And it was a very lush period when science was coming into its own.
Well, between Sputnik and the halo effect from Polaroid,
I was fortunate to be there. In fact, I felt actually appreciated when I went to Harvard. After I was there a year, the dean asked me if I would become chairman of the Department of Biological Chemistry. I said, it's too soon, I'll consider it next year. I came in for 4 years. There was a rotating chairmanship. And still more accepted into the academic world, because as chairman, I would sit with other professors and discuss not only science, but also in some certain administrative problems.
Did this bring you back into a closer conjunction with Woodward on the side?
Bob and I were friendly from some of my early things for each other. Not something obvious things, but when I was being considered for a professorship, I know he was consulted, I know he wrote letters about me. I never saw the letter. It was for him. I mentioned, I think previously, that when we got these options at Polaroid, I felt he had made a big contribution to our science, which in Lamb, the president, and asked him, can we make an exception, give Bob Woodward an option? And this made Bob's life comfortable as he grew up, and allowed him to another aspect of his life. He became a member of the board of directors of it. I was at Polaroid starting from age 40 I was at Harvard starting at age 40 and stayed at Harvard for the rest of my academic life. I had, as I said, I began to close society, and in fact, after I was at Harvard for
I can see it's slowing, and well, it's going again now. But let me just stop and let me.